Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Another podcast, another day. We are here. Nick is present. So is Julia.
Hello.
And as is Aaliyah.
Hello.
Hello, we're here. You've just wandered in sort of mid-conversation, which I didn't quite fully pick up on. What were you talking about?
I said, have you ever wondered what people say about you when you get off the phone?
Like as in they hang, so you're having a conversation with Aaliyah and then you both hang up and then Aaliyah goes, gosh, that Jules.
What a bitch.
Yeah.
Well, I just
witnessed that.
Nearly spit my water out.
Interesting. All right, what's happening?
They're being super lovely to you and then maybe they're not actually thinking you're a wonderful person. Well, I just tried to call my doctor because I made a doctor's appointment. And I had my phone up to my ear. I was washing my hands in the toilet, multitasking, and I couldn't hang up. So they probably thought that I was going to hang up. So they were like, gosh, she was lucky getting in at the last minute. That was nice.
Yeah, that's nothing. No issues with that. That seems
scandalous, right. But interesting to know what they say after I hang up.
Well, it's true. I suppose it's like you know, if you could, there's always mics running somewhere.
Yes, yeah,
as
so
we
true.
Often know there. You
so
know,
true.
CCTV is everywhere.
Anything that gets recorded,
every move.
If it gets recorded into a microphone, nothing's safe. Well, you know that about even our microphones
I
here.
Know. That's why you always say nice things.
People are always listening. We know you're listening, by the way. That's just more for anyone.
Probably more deliberate.
Well, there's podcasters that listen, yes, but you know there are off air listeners here. You know, there are people that are in the, they're like a little bug in the system.
Yes.
Just listening and ferreting around in there.
What occupation would you like to hear? Just like a running commentary or like a podcast, or not even like a curated podcast. But if this was running throughout their whole day to day, what would you like to hear?
Probably the president of America, I suppose.
What goes on?
Do you think, because like we've just come off the back of talking to Will Anderson, who's going to be on the show on Wednesday ahead of Question Everything Season 3. And we did talk to him about, you know, conspiracies and lizard people and stuff.
Yes.
And you know how there's obviously the thought that, you know, the president knows about aliens and all the stuff that goes on and X, Y, and Z. And what do you think the chances of any of that being loosely rooted? Like, I doubt the lizard people think, that's obviously a bit of a joke, but like, a new world order where there's, you know, they hide that much information from us. Like, do you think there are nefarious things at hand?
I wouldn't be surprised. I truly wouldn't be surprised. That being said, I did read Dan Brown when I was a teenager. Sure. So, you know, the whole Da Vinci Code and angels and demons and all that stuff. But I really do think that there is, like, that 1% of the world is richer than the rest of the 99%. Like, the stuff you can do with money.
You can hide a lot.
You can do a lot.
Get a lot done with a few dollars. I think about aliens, and I think that, you know, in terms of,
they totally exist.
Yeah, but I reckon that they've communicated, but they just, you know, the government hasn't you know, allowed it to be a well known thing yet.
I have a theory that, like, they've sort of buzzed around, had a little look.
Buzzed.
Yeah, you know, they're just hovering around, and then they've gone, nah, they don't pass the vibe check. And well, decided that they don't want to fuck with us.
Aren't they being censored? Because wasn't there a whole bunch of documentation to prove their existence?
Yeah.
Am I thinking about the same thing as you guys?
Well, I think you're talking about UFOs. Yeah. So unidentified.
Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah. Aliens, whereas different, like, category.
Alien life. I don't know if that's actually been proven.
Well, okay. Either way, Tom DeLonge is across all of it. You know, he wants to be in there.
And so is TikTok with their whole
alien talk.
TikTok and Tom.
And the simulation TikTok. Theory.
The three T's. Sorry?
The simulation theory. Oh. We're in a simulation.
Oh.
Yeah.
We are really diving into the conspiracy chat today.
Oh,
I love this.
Yeah, right.
I love this.
Yeah.
That we're all like plugged, like the Matrix.
Like all these things that you can't explain, like certain videos I've been seeing lately. I'm like,
what things happen that can't be explained?
Okay,
though?
So there's this chick, one video I've seen, this chick, she's like shooting a basketball, shooting hoops. And, like, the ball keeps bouncing back like a boomerang. And, like, where?
Like, exactly the same way?
Here? There's no wall there. Yep.
Oh.
It's like, is she stuck in, like, a sim world? I don't understand.
She made it to the edge of the simulation.
She did.
And because it's not, she can't there's get nothing
the
hoop. Past I mean, there.
It's definitely just the hitting it at the right angle. She's a very good shooter, right? Is that not
no, but it doesn't even get halfway through the court.
Wait, what?
I'll show you a video.
You'll show.
I'll show you off-air the off-air podcast.
He's like, par exemple. Like, give me an example.
And if you could, by the way, just take the tinfoil hat off for the moment because it's not good for audio. it's quite unfortunate. Oh, look, we're back in from the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone feeling good after the weekend? I'm not. Physically, my feet are not great. Here's the thing that no one talks about. Mm. Everyone talks about how hard it is to do like half marathons, marathons, and just those sort of physical endurance events.
Mm.
No one warns you afterwards. It's like, hey, you're gonna feel like shit afterwards.
Okay. Don't they? I feel like they do.
It's not.
They tell you about the nipple chafing.
Yeah. How did that go?
Oh, yeah, how did the chafing
Interestingly, go? Didn't notice it during, and then as I was in the shower at my sister's place afterwards, I did feel, it felt as if someone had given my right nipple a paper cut, and I thought, this is the worst.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So you didn't use the cream.
Why? Because I've never needed it for my nipples. I did put it in other, like my arms pre-race. It did look like I was sunscreening up, but it was incredible. It was like, you know, looking outside the studio right now. Was just more overcast than this, and it looked like I was putting sunscreen on. And people were just like, "Oh, he's pretty cautious." I get it. I guess he's quite pale. He doesn't want to be.
Come on, I'm sure that the other runners knew what you were doing.
A lot of them would have. There's a good blend of between casual and actual runners.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
Jules, have I ever used any?
Well, you were about to say something.
I've seen other runners use like rub things into their kneecaps and stuff like that before.
Kneecaps.
Yeah,
that would
be like a
heat gel of some
sort. To stop, like, what do they get on their knees?
Pain.
No, I was going to say shin splints, and then
shin
I'm like,
splints,
no,
that's
knees.
What I'm thinking. Yeah, shin splints.
Maybe.
Oh, I don't know. Who's to say?
I'm not part of this community. I don't know.
It's interesting. Well, you could be. That's the thing. There's so many people part of this community. It's crazy. I've never seen so many people. Just all they're doing an exercise together.
Are you going to continue being a part of the community? Are you gonna? Ready for your next one?
I've been running for ages and ages. Mm.
You paid for your next one.
I've already got
you?
The next one lined up. Yeah. It's in December, and I'm motivated to.
Summertime.
Summertime. Yeah, it'll be a bit. I'm hoping that it's not like they're doing pretty early, so I'm hoping that that's a bit of a savior. But I mean, time will tell if I get burnt.
Do you feel accomplished?
Yeah, I certainly did I crossed. I absolutely did.
Hell yeah.
Especially because I really struggled the last K. Like, through training, I'd probably done about 15, 16, 17-ish Ks when I was running. And then apologies if this is boring to podcasters, by the way, if I'm just doing running chat. But in terms of the body being able to just incredible things the body can do, I suppose, is where
mindset.
This next bit goes into, is the last few Ks where first 15 Ks felt great. Like, I actually set some really good times. And my sister... That did you see that video, Jules, that my sister tagged the page in? Was that me running past the camera?
Yes.
I didn't see that.
Oh, I'll show you later. Yeah. But yeah, you looked magnificent.
Very calm, and I felt great for the first 15.
Smiley.
And then it's like I got shot in the back of the head. I hit a wall, and then it started getting really hard really quickly, and I thought, this is interesting.
But we don't give up.
No, we don't, because I'm like, in my head I go, I've done 15. I've only got to do six more. Exactly. What's six more? And it's like,
is it 21 kilometers?
21.
Okay.
And so I was like, all right, what's six more? That's, you know, roughly 36 more minutes of running. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, 36 more minutes of uncomfortableness. But then at the end, you just stop and then you feel fine.
Yeah.
But then in that last K or two, when it was the slightest uphill because it's near the Botanic Gardens, running through the MCG.
Yeah.
The slightest uphill, I was like, okay, this is about a 1 degree incline and we're not enjoying it. But then as you sort of go onto the highway to go in through, because you go through like a back gate, like the entrance where they bring trucks onto the MCG field.
So they don't have to hold the turnstiles open for you.
No. You don't have to run up the stairs and check your ticket.
What they did in Hunted. I assume they do that for runners as well. Or just run over, do a little hurdle.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have been able to. I wouldn't have been able to get my legs that high by the end. But in the last K, my groin started like contracting of its own accord. And I was like, this is concerning. So
what?
Started limiting my certain movements with my right leg. And then my hamstring on my left started cramping. And I was like, all right. I was just doing a bit of a – I'll show you a video afterwards of my of my sister. She recorded me in my last, like, 500 meters.
Mm.
And it's just a real sad looking shuffle as I sort of try to get across.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Before and after.
Yeah.
But I suppose, in terms of – thing before we move on and wrap up the podcast and give you the best bits from today's show.
Yes.
Is the how many people were there? It was baffling to me.
That's great.
Like it was really cool and they raised a lot of money. I think they raised like $1.5 million for a variety of charities, which is lovely.
Incredible.
So that's where your money goes to when you register?
Some of it.
Okay.
I'm skeptical about how much of it, but some of it does
the
go to charities.
Get the rest.
The lizards are gonna have nice warm rocks to sun themselves on. And a lot of people there. And so how it worked from the morning went was the full marathon started at 7 o'clock, and I went to watch the start. I went and stood at the start line because there's some elite runners that come from all over the world to do it. So there's some really incredible athletes there. And then Steve Monteghetti, very famous Australian athlete, was a guy that rings the bell to start the event. And I was like,
nice
to see him. He did not look like he wanted to be there as a side note. Really just did not seem super stoked to be involved, but that's funny. And then after that, I thought, oh, I've got plenty of time now that the race has started for me to wander over to the MCG, which is about 500 metres away at this point, put my bag into like the bag check because I had like a bag for my jumpers. Go to the bathroom and get back here. I got an hour to do that. That's crazy. No issues. Put the bag in. That's fine. I had about 30 minutes to go to the bathroom and get back there. More time than I could ever need. The line to the men's toilet. Now, this was the strangest thing to experience in the world. The line to the men's toilet was nearly like 100 plus meters long.
Whoa.
At the MCG bathrooms, and there's multiple bathrooms.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is next level.
There's so many stalls, though.
It was crazy. And then it got to the point where, as I got probably to the first 20 meters of it, like I'd been waiting in it for long enough, there were women coming out of the girls' toilets where there was no line, and the women are just like,
that's so weird because it's always the other way around.
And that we were commenting on that in the line as well. And the girls are like, hey, I don't really know why this has happened, but there's like there's zero people in the women's toilets.
Did you figure out why?
Maybe just go in and use the women's. So I did that. I just went to the women's toilet and used the women's because there was no one in the women's. And then when I came out of the women's toilet after using it.
Did you get looked at?
No, it was just men in there. They're being co-opted by blokes.
Wow.
It was so strange.
Why is that? Is it because they have to apply chafing stuff?
Well, I asked.
Maybe women do a lot of their prep at home.
Maybe.
But then, like, peeing, come on. You can't decide when that's going to happen. No, you really need to go.
Supposedly, I was talking to my sister and her fiancé, Dave, about this after and saying how strange it was. And the theory we landed on is that guys are more inclined to, we're looking to do a big bit of business in the bathroom before we run. Potentially just to vacate.
Okay. Like a load.
Just expose everything.
Well, to be specific, an idea looking to do a number two pre-race. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, maybe. If
a lady would never.
Never, not at the MCG, not on the hallowed.
But be comfortable.
I said to my sister. I was like, women poo too, though,
yeah,
right?
They do.
It's like, no, we don't. No.
Different worlds. I was like, it was a very strange experience. Very strange. But, you know, got into the girls' toilets in time and got to my starting line. And there's about 200 metres of people ahead of me anyway, so it didn't really matter if I got to the back of the line or not. Anyway.
Well, we're proud of you.
Thank you. Feeling trash now.
Go have a nap.
We're about to wrap up for the day, which is nice. I think we've got a few meetings, which is also exhilarating.
Always exhilarating. Right?
But, you know, that's business, baby.
That's a Monday.
All right, enjoy the podcast. Best bits from this morning's show in there as well as we get excited for across the rest of the week, of course, the Nick and Jules Comedy Cruise.
Woo-hoo.
It's on Thursday night, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Three sleeps. Yep. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And we have Am I the Asshole tomorrow.
Am I the Asshole tomorrow. And we've got Will Anderson on Wednesday.
Indeed. Everything is happening.
So much happening in this.
You miss a beat?
What a busy week. You should subscribe.
Always.
Do you think that we've got listeners that aren't subscribed? Seems unlikely, right?
Oh, I reckon I'll have a look at the analytics and see
you'll
if there's
yell
anything.
At people.
That seems unlikely. If you aren't subscribed and you're listening somehow,
add us to your favorites. What are you doing?
Help us with the numbers, brother. Like, what are you
give
doing?
Us a tick.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Bye.
Letters from Jules.
Dear Diary.
What did young Jules write back in the day?
Absolute nonsense.
Yeah, it's good that your parents have kept so many of your journal entries, cards, bits of writing, because we get to critique them on the show.
Yes, critique indeed. This one is an excerpt that I wrote about my best friend. I'll posit that I was probably between 8 and 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My Pen Portrait by Julia Greenhalf.
An incredible word art
for those
who are familiar.
The rainbow one.
Oh.
I first met my friend at her new home when she arrived across the road from my house. Convenient. We have been friends for 10 years. At first, I met her through my parents. Didn't really like it.
Rude.
We were young and it felt odd because we were used to our mums and dads making us friends. We then later played together and enjoyed each other's company.
So if we're just explaining how kids make friends, mate. You were such a boring writer as an 8-year-old.
As we grew older, we kept communicating, even though we went to different schools and hated each other's. Don't know why.
Each other's schools or each other still?
Each other's schools. We enjoy scooter riding together because it's one interest we both share. I see her nearly every day and she is so special to me.
That's nice.
She's good at a range of things, but being a great friend is her best quality. I see she has.
She's good at things, but her best quality is just being living opposite me.
When I have to do nerve-wracking things, I wish that she could be there, but she usually can't.
She's not very supportive.
When her dog died, I was there for a shoulder to cry on, and I comforted her.
Oh, good. You know, you're returning the favour that she's not, you know, extending to you.
When she became an auntie, I celebrated and congratulated
Mate,
her.
How old is this woman?
She became an auntie really young.
Wow.
If I had to describe my friend in three words, she would definitely be dependable, loyal, and understanding. I think we'll retract the dependable.
Yeah.
She wasn't there for the big moments of my life, and I really hated her school for some reason.
Yeah, this is quite baffling. And then you've got a critique because you obviously submitted this as a part of a piece of writing for
school.
Thanks, Julia. It's great to see your how friendships develop.
That's pretty logical, I guess, for the teacher.
Are you still? What was this girl's name? Do you remember her name?
Laura.
Laura, are you still friends with Laura?
I am actually.
Are you, mate? Because it was a bit of hesitation.
We've lost a little bit of touch.
Yeah, well,
I'm scooter riding all the time.
You know, that's the big thing. As you turn 30, you do a lot less scooter riding with your childhood neighbours.
Yes.
When did you? When would you have last spoken to her?
I congratulated her on her marriage.
Which, judging by the speed at which she became an auntie, was probably only a few years after this letter was written, right? Nick and Jules with you for Hit Breakfast After 8 Alpha Bucks right now.
Nick and Jules' comedy cruise along the gorgeous Murray River, only on Hit.
Yes, yeah, a super exclusive event, a night of nights with a bunch of comedians on the back of a boat. We've got food, we've got drink, and right now joining us is one of the comedians. Em, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, it's been a while. Obviously, listeners of the show would know that you held down the fort whilst Jules was overseas.
Is this like exes, like running into your ex and catching up?
Yeah, it's really awkward for me. I don't know. I don't know about you, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to sneak out of the room. And when we're on the boat, I'll be sort of hanging off on a dinghy on a life raft on the side. But
no, we're all friends here. And thank you, Em. You're gracious enough to help us out. You're also part of our Bendigo Trammed Up comedy event. We loved it. You're back by popular demand to perform at our comedy cruise in Mildura.
I certainly am. Now, we've had a couple of discussions in the lead up to this event about, you know, our positions on the boat. And I know, you know, there's a lot of tension around who's going to be captain and stuff like that. But I do want to say that I have actually prepared an outfit for the evening and I'm really excited to share it with you.
Is it the big reveal on the night or is it we get
No,
exclusive
I'm happy to
now.
Chat about it now.
Oh, great.
All right, well, what is the outfit in question? Is it nautical themed?
Yeah, I just want to say, obviously, this is going to be a nighttime event on the beautiful Murray River.
But she's rainbow fish in sequins lighting up at night.
I don't think there's many rainbow fish in the Murray River. I think they're all a nice poo brown.
But even though it's at nighttime, I thought I really want to lean into the theme. So I'm going to go full rashy for the evening.
Interesting. Yeah, sun smart.
Yes, exactly.
Know. Well, you know, here's the thing. It is daylight savings.
Yep.
And I think we are sort of, you know, undocking and, you know, kicking off around 6:37-ish. So the sun will still be a factor.
You don't want to get those rays.
I actually am being sun smart. Good for me.
Make sure you bring liters of sunscreen and zinc as well.
Yeah, are you bringing sunscreen to share or is this all a...
It's a BYO.
Yes.
I don't care about any of you. No, wow. I'll bring some sunscreen. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, and how about this? Here's a promise from Em, who's not only promised to perform as a comedian, but has also promised to obviously bring the outfit. And I promise to her and to all the listeners that are going to be joining us, she'll sunscreen you up before you come on board.
Wow.
There you go.
She performs and she gives back to those.
She is. We are about sun safety. Sun safety. And look, it'll be late in the day. You only need SPF 15, so it's not gritty. Mm. So it'll be fine. And,
yeah, great.
If you does it concern you that you'll be drenched in sunscreen performing? Because if it gets in your eyes and you start crying?
That is a fear, but I'm also bringing my goggles.
That isn't... Well,
so when everyone starts laughing at Em, we're unsure, is the comedy material hilarious or is it the outfit?
And actually, you know why goggles is especially good is because, I mean, and again, Em, I'm assuming that the best will happen because, you know, you did well at Trammed Up Comedy. You're a good comedian. I don't think you'll bomb. But on the off chance that you do, you can just jump off the side of the boat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the goggles are there, ready to go.
Don't save her. She's trying to escape. So
there's going
to
be some fishermen in the Murray on Thursday night who are, you know, just they feel a tug on the line. They look down and it's just a radio announcer.
Also, why is the water so oily? It's like there's liters of sunscreen in it.
It's so slick. You know, you've actually created a natural disaster in many ways.
All right. Well, we'll still TBC on all of those finer details, but I will be there.
We are excited to see it. And look, it is too late for people to get tickets because this is an exclusive event, but we make sure that you'll be able to follow along. Follow at Nick and Jules on Instagram. And if you want some behind the scenes of the night as well, search the Nick and Jules Inner Circle on Facebook for all sorts of video and stuff. And we'll podcast it and we'll talk about it on the show. You can join us through your radios and your screens. And that way, Em, we'll see you Thursday night.
Thanks so much. See you there.
Right now, though, 131060, we're asking about the shortest date that you've been on. Story of a woman who, on a date with a bloke, and, you know, the bloke has called it quits after they ordered the entrees.
Yeah, a bit of an entree.
The twist being that she ordered 48 oysters and ate all of them herself. The bloke excused himself to go to the bathroom and not come back. Arguably fair.
Who's this loony?
I think if someone ordered 48 oysters and just proceeded to, because that's almost not enough time to chat. Because you've got like, you know, you got little,
you're slurping
your oyster fork and going.
And it's very divisive oysters too.
Well, it's not a good, it's no one looks good sucking down an oyster.
Is she not sharing?
Oh, yeah, he leans across to get one oyster. She's like, slaps the hand to it. No, order your own 48 oysters if you want them. All right, let's go to the phones right now. To find the shortest date, because you did about a 45-minuter.
Yep, dinner. That was way too long, I think.
I've done about 30 minutes after the other person didn't want to order food because they didn't have avocado, which I thought was insane. let's see if we can beat 30 minutes, though. On 131060, Jared from Shep's giving us a buzz. Jared, what's the shortest date you've been on, mate?
5 minutes.
So there's the potential this phone call will last longer than the date.
Oh, possibly, mate. Possibly we've had longer conversations.
Is that technically a date?
Well, so the situation was we swiped on Tinder.
Yeah.
Had some conversations for quite a few weeks.
Yep.
Decided I'd, you know, make the first move and sort of ask her out on a date. So she agreed to that. Went to a nice, not fancy, but nice restaurant and was sort of prepared to pay for everything. Sort of sat down. She walked in with a friend and then basically said, "Hi, how you doing? This is my friend. I want you to meet her." And she walked out.
No.
The one that I was actually chatting to walked out. Yeah, she was trying to set me up with a friend.
And that wasn't clear.
That was not clear at all. Literally asked her out on a date. She said, yeah, she was coming out. She was happy to be there. And then literally turned up and dropped her friend and walked off.
Did you go on a date with the friend, or what was the wrap up situation from there, Jared?
It was extremely awkward. I apologized profusely to her, but I said, look, I was actually intending on meeting your friend, not yourself. If I had have been informed earlier, there might be a possibility that we, you know, might have had something in common and could have, you know, maybe started something. But yeah.
So was the friend worded up that was the situation?
Oh, well and truly, she knew what was going on. But yeah, so I was literally left in the loop and I thought, well, that's not a bit fair. So I left them in the lurch.
No, did you contact the original person and to say, what on earth was that?
No. I thought, well, she had an opportunity. I mean, I'm not the perfect guy, but hey, you know, I'm a decent guy. And yeah, she had a chance and good.
I mean, you rocked up yourself to the date. You didn't bring a plus one either. Very rarely should you bring a plus one to a date.
No, I was actually fairly well dressed too and was prepared to pay for everything and just see how things went.
Chivalrous. But,
you
know.
Just a very standard date stuff. And you got the exact opposite. Hey, Jared, before we let you go, on this woman that's eaten 48 oysters and then the bloke's rocked up, do you think that's a fair move? Like, what do you reckon? You know, if she's eaten 48 oysters and he's been a bit freaked out by that, do you think it's fair to leave, or what's the protocol in your mind?
I probably would have called the waiter over, handed her the bill, and then bailed then.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, 48 oysters, I mean, sitting there watching her just hoe that down, that's, yeah, no, not cool.
You're not covering that, Jared, are you?
It's too many oysters.
It's way too many oysters, and then she probably wants a dinner and dessert as well.
Well, I've just of oysters. Can I get another 48 oysters to go, please? Jared, thanks for the call, mate.
Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful week.
The stereotype of Australia, I think, is everything will bloody kill you if you go down under. The animals there are dangerous.
And we love to keep up that facade.
And I'd like to create a quick stereotype for the United States of America. I know there are some exactly out there at the moment.
Yeah.
I'd like to create one about their animals. The animals, they tend to be in America. We want to start this new stereotype. They're always on the loose. And the reason why I have come across this, we've come to this realization is that as we do our research for the show and we're finding these news stories, there is an absurd number of stories, Jules, that keep popping up about animals that have gotten out of enclosures and they're on the loose and they're causing havoc over in the United States. I take you to Colorado, where there's a lemur on the loose.
Lemur on the loose. This small animal gave quite the chase for police. They tried using a towel to stop it, but had little luck.
Why use a towel?
They're small enough, I guess, to capture in a towel.
Well, in my head, they were doing that thing you do with tea towels when you're in the kitchen and you're trying to whip it in and like shepherd it into a specific direction. It's very funny. There's about a 3-minute long video that the police have of their body cam footage of them chasing a lemur around. Unfortunately, it's not too much like.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to. Move it.
That being said, the lemur was very quick, so the lemur, you know, it could move it.
It should have got like the red one, like with a bull, and like charge towards this tea towel, please.
See if you can piss off a lemur.
Yeah.
Piss off a lemur would be a great one. I'm going to take you out to another place in Colorado. Colorado, wild place to be, where some swine is on the loose.
After being thwarted multiple times, Aurora has a large criminal behind bars tonight. And the criminal in question is a real swine. No, really. 9 News reporter Rachel Krause shares how a 400-pound pig evaded capture.
He has spent about 4 or 5 days on the loose, this massive pig, Fred the pig, committing what the police there call quite a large number of low-level crimes.
What? So, a crime-committing pig?
So he's the pig's out there. It's jaywalking.
Oh.
It's running through traffic. It's walking into stores and just eating stuff. And then when the cops run, it just bolts off into the wilderness.
What
and then,
do you expect from the pig? The pig is not supposed to be out and about.
This pig is the size of a small SUV. It does whatever the hell it wants. And then, of course, to round things out, obviously, I want to take you to Indianapolis. I don't know where that is in America, but you know what? It's definitely made itself a little bit more well-known after this got out.
During 18 hours of freedom, the legend of Momo the monkey grew. Indianapolis Animal Care Services says Momo made his escape from his outdoor enclosure in his owner's backyard.
We believe that he removed a bungee cord or chewed through a bungee cord that was holding a tarp.
If your monkey is held in an enclosure that consists of a bungee cord and a tarp, there's a reason why your animals are getting out, people, is because they're using the same level of reinforcement that my dad is with a trailer. And my dad, you know, the classic dad thing of like, that's not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
Evidently, the monkey is obviously able to pull the bungee cord out. So get my dad in there, and there's no chance of these animals.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast.